to do that. If I sleep a few minutes, it's a miracle.
You did before, I didn't sleep at all. I stayed on this whole night, so.
And you were just out.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Deuteronomy chapter 2, please. Deuteronomy chapter 2. All right, let's all stand and we'll read the first verses together. This is Moses recounting the journey. This is a recounting or a retelling. Remember, Deuteronomy means, Deuteros is the word, Greek word for second. Timothy, Tom, cardinal numbers, ordinal numbers. Remember those?
Yes, sir.
This is an ordinal. You know, this gives order. This is the second giving of the law. Deuteros, Namas. So he's retelling the story that's happened. He says, then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the Red Sea. As the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed or circled Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, you have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. It's almost like maybe they were stalling. Verse 4. And command thou the people, saying, you are to pass through the coast. Coast here does not mean sea. This is just an old English way of saying the borders of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Mount Seir. And they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them. And this is just, folks, this is just one of those asides that's important for us to recognize. For I will not give you of their land. No, not so much as a foot breadth. Because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. I think sometimes when we read the Bible, you can make two major blunders. The first blunder is the most common, where everything that's good, look at me, everything that's good becomes about you. We talked about this Wednesday night. You cannot read the Bible where everything that's good is about you. I taught Wednesday night. Most of you weren't there. That's fine. I said, when you read the Bible, this is when you'll start growing as a Christian. Stop reading the Bible through the eyes of the good guy. Put yourself through the eyes of the other people, because most of the time that's where we are. But if you only see yourself through the good guy's eyes, I'm Joseph. Why aren't you Joseph's brothers? I got news for you. If you have a family big enough, to the rest of the family, you're probably one of the brothers. I don't care if your family's Christian, none of that matters. People look at things differently. So read the Bible that way. The second mistake is we think only the Jewish people were important. Yes, we're going to talk this morning. The whole morning is about Judaism, the Jews being the center, look at me, of everything. However, God was just as interested in other peoples. Let's keep reading. Are you with me? Does this make sense to you? He says, that's not your land, Israel. Verse 6. Goes on to say some other things. Let's go on down to verse 9. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession. Why not? Because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. So when you think about the migrations of people, the rising of kingdoms, the falling of kingdoms, friends, I cannot, Pastor Warren doesn't have the ability to explain, I'm not behind the scene. But I do know this, God is not sleeping. God is not unaware. For me, the worst thing that's happened in my adult life happened yesterday in South Carolina. Do I need to say anything more? We are going to go into a presidency that is an embarrassment to every Christian in America. And I thought maybe South Carolina, there were Christians there that would say, we don't want this kind of a person as the candidate. So we're going to have a guy that is asleep. I'm sorry, he has dementia, he has Alzheimer's. And we have a guy that, you guys listening? I have to step back and say, God, I know you're in control of the movements of peoples and the wives, and you raise people up, and I'm not happy? Are you happy? Yes, it doesn't bother you as much as it bothers me. But I know one thing, I'll tell you how much control I have. Who saves? Wow. We're in bad shape. By the way, you read the whole Bible, you quickly realize God does what God wants to do among nations. He doesn't ask your permission. He raises up Cyrus the Great, Isaiah 44 and 45. Deuteronomy, Daniel chapter 4, he told Nebuchadnezzar, I gave you the kingdom. Why Nebuchadnezzar? That's what God does. All right, we're going to move on from this, cover the next section of these notes. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name. We have talked about four things. This is the fourth concept. It's been 3 weeks, which is way, 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 way too long. But there's no other way of doing it quicker. We're still dealing with worldviews, which we'll come back to next week. We'll probably move on to a new idea. God created one human race. Can I ask you, how important is it for God to have created one human race? Everything about life is important. For instance, just the very nature of racism is eliminated if there's just one human race. So, if I ask, how many of you have heard, maybe you've read this, maybe you haven't, of racism by so-called white Christians? The first one I ever heard, I've heard two. Have any of you ever heard this? The gap theory. Now, not everybody that believed the gap theory taught this, but there were people that said this. The gap theory explains evolution, but it also explains why there are people that are, hear me, not like us. These were people that were really from this period. The antediluvial peoples. Some of you are looking at them like I'm from outer space. Friends, I'm just going to tell you this. People have used racism, and people that hold that King Jimmy Bible in their hand to explain and put people down. It goes on all over the country. Last week, I heard a person, I'm not a big fan of him, but of the place that he represented at the time, trying to explain his view of race publicly to a guy that was throwing him softballs, and his view of race was so stupid. Because you know what it is? God is for me, and probably for the Jews, but for the rest of people, he's not interested. No, that's not the God who I am. He's involved in all of this. That's one of the crazy things. So, yes, certain people, they don't come from Adam and Eve. They come from another group of people. They don't have souls. By the way, don't get real goofy here. The Church of Latter-day Saints did not believe that black people could be whatever they are in the Latter-day Church Saints, and God changed his mind in the 1970s. Do you not know this? This is just common stuff, nonsense. By the way, we all come from the same person, Adam and Eve. Yes or no? Say amen.
Amen.
And by the way, that's good and bad. That means we're all also sinners. But because we're all sinners from Adam and Eve, we can also have the last Adam, which is Christ, and all people could be saved. This morning, we're going to zoom through some stuff on the number four. So God created one human race. He made all the races, and I don't like the term races because it doesn't really help us. Ethnic groups, tribal groups, language groups, people groups, all of that language. I'm using it because it rhymes and I can remember it very easily, frankly. Number three, God made space or a place for each race. That's also important to know. And by the way, that should inform our understanding of immigration. That does not necessarily mean you should believe in the kind of immigration we have today, which is not even immigration, I don't know what it is. Uncontrolled disaster. But acting like those people from there, it's like, yes. And please don't get angry at Pastor Warren. White people do this, but so does every other group I've ever encountered. It's the nature of people not to like the other. All right. We're going to skip all the verses and go down to the very first statement. For my young people in Bible, you've already heard this. So you're an expert. You can teach this class by yourself. I say this, no matter where we look, we find the Jewishness of salvation and the Jewishness of Jesus. We could spend all morning on that point. Friend, one of the biggest problems we've had, we had this little thing called, is this how it's spelled? Anytime I spell on a board, I have a rough time. Is it Holocaust?
I think it's C-O-S-T.
All right, you write it however you want to. So my question is really simple. How in the world did people, some of them claim to be Christians, kill 6 million Jewish people? Are you ready? This is not a maybe. A long time ago, German Christians and German theology and German thinking started making Jesus very not Jewish. So Jesus started, but Jesus became kind of mythological almost. And then he started, and by the way, I don't care what he looked like. You say, what did Jesus look like? I don't know how far to chase these rabbits. I'm assuming no one in this room has read Tacitus or Suetonius. If you read Roman historians from the first and second century, this is what you'll find. They always describe the person they're writing about. When you read the Gospels, the thing that's unbelievably lacking, there's no description of what Jesus looked like. Do you think that's an accident?
No.
I don't think so. I don't think that was important. But all the historians, they describe, the funniest thing I've ever read was probably Suetonius' description of Gaius Caligula. I mean, and then you read Tacitus, and he described him differently, so one of them really hated him. Jesus, we don't know, it's not important what he looked like, but it is important that, sorry about the misspelling. He was this. But if Jesus is not Jewish, and actually Henry Ford, you ever heard of him? The Ford Motor Corporation said that the Jews were not Jews. They were the Khazarians. Khazars. I better get going because I'll get off because I like history. By the way, friend, the lies that people tell. Henry Ford, do you think he had power in this country?
Yeah.
Let me ask you. You know, I just read a report about who's the most popular president in history. One of them is FDR. Have we forgotten what he did with the Jews during the World War II, that he would not allow them here? Yes, we have. By the way, a whole ship came all the way to America and was turned back around. The hatred of Jews is not something new. But how do you do that if Jesus was Jewish? Let me ask you, do you think Paul was Irish? Do you think Peter was English? In your notes. No matter where we look, we find the Jewishness of salvation and the Jewishness of Jesus. Verse 2, Paul says this, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. I mean, you just can't get away from this. 2 Timothy 2:8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. I mean, the whole gospel is rooted around, you know, things that start in one sense in Genesis 3:15, humanly speaking, with the proto-evangelium, but you also have the Abrahamic covenant all the way to the Messiah. Thoughts in your notes. We will just deal with it. Salvation, obviously, is of the Jews. All of it roots to the Jewish people. John 4:21. Jesus said unto her, woman, she's a Samaritan, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Any other kind of Christianity is not Christian. Has nothing to do with Christianity. Salvation is of the Jews. We'll go down to B. The Jewish people, or the Jews, and I'll normally say Jewish people because Jews can become a terrible slander, even though it's not improper. The Jews were a people apart, always. Strange thing, when you read the Old Testament, you find that the Jewish people were always a people apart from other groups. So when you read Exodus 33, he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known unto thee known here, excuse me, that I and my people have found grace in thy sight. Is it not him that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated. Jewish people were to be a separate people. I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Numbers 23. How shall I curse? This is our friend, Balaam. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? From the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Simply stated, friends, the Jewish people were always separate. Even in the New Testament, after the beginning of the church, of which Jew and Gentile are now part of the church universal and in local churches, but still, the way Paul saw people was a threefold group. Don't give offense to the Jews, Gentiles, or the Church of God. So you have the three concepts put together. Always apart. See, Israel, the Jewish nation, is the center of the nations. I got a question for you all. How many people are in the Philippines? You all know? A lot. I think over 100 billion, is that correct? 10 million, 5 million, 50, I don't know. You ever wonder why a little bitty nation like Israel is the center of the nations? Have you ever wondered, look at me, this is 2024 and it's still the center of everything? Have you ever wondered about that? Just this little bitty, when you look at all the nations, it's just a speck. A speck. I mean, the whole place is one-seventh the size of Illinois. It's like a few counties. Why is it so significant? Because it's always been the center of God's purposes. Always. You're looking up how big the Philippines are?
No, actually, I was wanting to make sure my phone was muted and I messed up.
So when you're trying to fix things that aren't broken, Rhonda, I do that all the time. Deuteronomy 32, let's read together, please. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided the nations, to the nations, their inheritance. By the way, we're back to point three. God gave different ethnic groups their place. Yes? God did that. But how did he do it? He tells us. No, I don't understand this. I just believe what it says. When he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds, the boundaries of the people, according to the number of the children of Israel. That's weird. So at the very beginning of time, Israel was always meant to be the center of things. The latter part of verse 10 says he kept them as the apple of his eye. And you say, what's the apple of his eye? I don't know what that means exactly, but I do mean this. If I have a needle and I walk up to you and start towards your eye, that is the most. Very few people can stand to see something come towards their eye. That's the most. You will protect your eyes at all costs. That's God's view of Israel. So we have crazy people in America that want to, they do not, oh, they're not anti-Semitic. They don't hate Jewish people. They just don't want to have them, let them have a place to live. As long as you don't have a place to live, we're comfortable with you. Sounds like a lot of nonsense is going on. All right, we continue. Deuteronomy 33:29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. Israel, the Jewish nation, is the center of the nations. Always has been. Next page of your notes. I'm going to skip those verses for time. I don't know why. I do know why. Tim, I'm glad you're here. Now you see the difference. When I teach here and try to teach young people, I realize young people know nothing, and I get too distracted. I need somebody to rein me in. Because I want to explain everything, and you can't really explain everything. It's only taken me 1 week to go through this in Bible class, and I just got finished. And I'm not sure the kids learned anything, but I tried. D, Scripture was a gift primarily through the Jewish people. Primarily. What I mean by that is the entire Old Testament, all of the Old Testament, though Job was not written by a Jewish person, it was handed down by Jewish people. Job probably precedes the Jewish nation, well, certainly precedes the Jewish nation. Job was contemporary, maybe before, I would say, assume before Abraham. One of those people like Melchizedek. It was all passed down through the Jewish people. And most of the New Testament also came from Jewish people, obviously. All right, Pastor Clark, since I don't have a voice, would you read Romans 3, 1 and 2, please?
What advantage then have the Jews, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God.
So the Jewish people, according to Paul, that's the pathway we got the Bible from primarily. It was through, and even in the New Testament, most of the people were Jewish believers. Most. Luke being an exception, at least in my opinion. Pastor Coy, go ahead. He also said, he says this to Moses, God does, in Deuteronomy 4. Sir?
For what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them? As the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day?
And obviously asking the rhetorical questions, for what nation, implies what? No other nation has it. So look at me, I'm an American, I love being an American. We don't have that relationship. The scripture didn't come through Americans. May I say it, it didn't come, it wasn't tossed out of heaven in 1611 either. Hello? And anybody that teaches otherwise is starting to creep into elements of racism. Call it what it is. Somehow we're special. No, we are not special in that sense. There's only one group like that. God committed the oracles of God through the Jewish people primarily. And even the New Testament, with the exception of Luke. Psalm 140, by the way, do you agree with that or do you think that's not racism? Samuel Gipp. I can write his name, it's not important. You can look it up on, by the way, don't believe a word I say about this. Do me a favor, look it up. Samuel Gipp, G-I-P-P, was asked, does a person in Russia to get saved need to learn English so they can read the King James? His answer was, yes. What else can I call that except racism? I'm going to say this, my Filipino friends. I've experienced lots of racism in the Philippines from white pastors that have taught Filipinos they have to read the King James, of which none of them understand. Because you can't really preach the Word of God unless it's the King James Bible. Paul, sorry about you, buddy, you didn't have it. Somewhere along the line, this racism stuff, by the way, it starts with Jesus not being Jewish. Hello? Yes, I have the privilege of being saved. So do you. You know why? Because the covenants of promise, the Abrahamic, the Davidic, and the New Covenant, you and I, as Christians, the church age, are grafted into those covenants contrary to nature, and we have the blessings and benefits, but we're not special. Sorry. I love being an American, but I don't know where we have taken this. I don't know if anyone in this room knows much about the, there was a lot of this stupidity. John R. Rice, which, not one of my heroes, but he wrote about this constantly. It was called British Israelism, where the Anglo-Saxon people were the real Jews. You ever heard that nonsense? The Worldwide Church of God, Garner Ted Armstrong, and there's a bunch of these. You remember, you run into those kind of people? Maybe not. Just bizarre stuff. By the way, Jesus was Jewish. Paul was Jewish. Scripture came from Jewish hands, mostly. Tim, read the next verses, would you please?
Psalm 147.
Yes, sir.
He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise you, Lord.
Again, emphasizing, it's also in Psalm 103. I don't need to turn there. It's very clear that the scripture comes primarily through the Jewish people. Now, the one writer in the New Testament I'm pretty sure wasn't Jewish, which was Luke. You say, why? Well, I think you find it real clearly as you're going to find it without him saying, I'm not Jewish. When he writes Acts chapter 1, verse 19, read it with me, please. And it was known unto the dwellers of Jerusalem, inasmuch as that field is called, and what's the next phrase say? So Luke is writing in Greek, yes? And he's calling the Jews' language whose language?
Theirs.
There's no American would ever talk about English as their language. That's my language. He is distancing himself because Luke was one of those guys that didn't read the language, obviously. So he has to call it their language. It was the Jewish language, which would be Hebrew/Aramaic or both. You find this also, and this is not important, but I'm just saying, in the New Testament, Luke seems to not be Jewish. Colossians 4, Aristarchus, that's a great name. Why doesn't anybody name their son that, Aristarchus? My fellow prisoners salute you or greet you. Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you have received commandments, if he come and you receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. So he's saying all of these are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which has been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of whom?
You.
He is separating Jewish people from Colossian people, or people from Asia Minor. A servant of Christ salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete as in all the will of God. For I bear him record that I have great zeal for you and for them that are of Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Then he concludes by saying, Luke, the beloved physician. But Luke is putting him in the category of the U group again. And Demas, again, part of the U group. So it seems to me Luke was, it's not important. Just Pastor Warren, I try to be accurate. I think Luke probably wasn't Jewish. He was a Christian. So let's go back. Let's look at all the bullet points. Salvation is of the Jews, according to Jesus. Why? Because it starts with the Abrahamic covenant. Well, it starts before that in eternity past, but we have the big flowering in the Abrahamic covenant, and Jesus is obviously fulfillment of the Abrahamic promises, the Davidic promises, the New Covenant promises, and we get to partake of that. B, the Jews were a people apart. See, Israel, the nation, the Jewish nation, is the center of the nation. D, Scripture comes primarily through the Jewish people. E, we'll go to E. I shouldn't even have to say this. The Messiah. He even used the word Messiah. So, Tim and Isaac. Yes, but what does it mean in Greek? What's the word? Thank you. Is that a last name or is that something else?
I don't. Just do your heart good, Pastor.
Whoa, two guys learned something. It's not Jesus and a curse word, Christ. Christ is a title, of course. It's just the Greek word for Messiah. Christos, Mashiach. That's very Jewish. You know, so people didn't go around, you know, cursing Jesus Christ like we do in America. No, Christ was simply, he's the fulfillment of the Jewish scripture, of course. All right, so the Messiah was Jewish, and he fulfilled, I know this sounds funny, Jewish scripture. Friends, this has been going on since the beginning of the church. Marcion, this is the second and third century. We started with a guy, I'm pretty sure his name is spelled like this. Never taught on Marcion, but he was one of the first guys that did what? Does anybody know? Donna, if you studied Marcion, you remember him from church history. He decided that Jesus wasn't really Jewish and all that stuff in the Old Testament was bad. And, hold on, anything in the New Testament that had anything to do with the Old Testament was bad. So he ended up with part of one gospel, part of the Gospel of Luke. Because Matthew, pretty Jewish. I don't know about John, poor John, but he had Luke, and then he, what about the rest of the New Testament? Anything that had anything to do with the Old Testament is eliminated. So you end up with a few books of the Bible and certain portions of them. He was one of the great heretics that people liked it because, look at me, Jesus then becomes mine in my back pocket. I think some people are going to be shocked to realize Jesus has nothing to do with them or their cultural habits. Let's continue. The Messiah was Jewish. Do we all agree with that? And he fulfilled what kind of scripture? So here we have Matthew chapter 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's the first verse in the Bible. He's the son of David. He's the son of Abraham. Why? Because your first two big covenants that he's going to deal with, friends, is he has to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant. I mean, not all of that's happened yet, but that's the whole story. Luke chapter 2. The angel of the Lord said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to," now this is beautiful, "all people, not just Jewish people. For unto you is born in this day the city of David." By the way, that's pretty straightforward. You know, the polis of David, in David's city, a savior, a soteros, which is Christos, Christ. And somebody messed up. I didn't put it here. It's both in the same. Kyrios, the Lord. I mean, it names Jesus by Savior, Christos, Kyrios. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, rooted right into the Old Testament. That's who Jesus is. And he's born in the city of David, not Chicago, not London, not Berlin, not Moscow. He's born in a little city that frankly doesn't mean much in worldwide things, but it means everything because it's the center of God's action. Galatians chapter 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. I mean, everything about Jesus, he had to be born of a woman, he had to be born under the law, he had to fulfill the law in order to be the sacrifice that we need. That's his active obedience and then his passive obedience. All of it's rooted together. Everything comes to fruition in Christ. The Messiah was Jewish. He fulfilled Jewish scripture. We'll go down to G. Salvation came through the Jewish race. That seems to be simple. It came through the Jewish race for all races. Every single group. Years ago, first time I ever heard it, by the way, I have now experienced it. A guy that used to be a member of this church, a guy that has a little bit to do with this guy's salvation, humanly speaking. Arnel de Leon told me he was in some place, Indonesia, and a guy looked at Arnel, because Arnel didn't know any better. He thought the gospel was for everybody. So he's just trying to share the gospel, and this guy looked at him and said, "I don't want anything to do with that white man's religion."
Because Arnel looks so white.
And actually, Arnel would look identical to him because of Malaysian blood in the whole area. And Arnel just said, "I'm not white." Do you know how easily, by the way, I have a friend that pastors in Ghana. He is, you know, he is from Ghana. He's from Accra. Speaks a couple of the tribal languages. Obviously speaks English. He gets that in his church constantly. This is white man stuff. Was Jesus white? I don't know what color he was. I don't even know if that's significant, but I do know this. How has some things got identified? Jesus was all of the Old Testament from the beginning being fulfilled. And all of the Jewish scriptures weren't just about us, it was about the Jews too, but it fulfills Jewish scripture for all peoples, every people. Seems to be straightforward. Let's read together these passages. There's lots more of these we could read, obviously. So salvation came through the Jewish race. By the way, friends, as long as I'm alive and I have a voice, I will be saying the same things. I will never change my tune and I will never lighten up. Because people get very comfortable with Jesus, and Jesus starts looking like them and doing what they do. Hello. I want to ask you a serious question. Have you ever heard Trump speak in the last year? Drop what other people, have you actually listened to him? Number one, he's incoherent. Number two, he lies all the time. I wouldn't believe him if he told me it was raining outside. But Christians somehow identify with that and kind of make that into some kind of, sadly, some groups, Christian nationalism. Now, I think you read the article. I might as well just address some of this. Christians identify with him, and I am at a loss how we can identify thinking he's a good guy. When a guy lies all the time, by the way, does he hate people? Let me ask a third question. Do you feel that he has the common good of America in mind or his own common good? Now, by the way, I'm not defending the other idiot. I'm telling you this, we're in the worst shape we've ever been, but part of this is, how do Christians think? They suddenly start identifying with things that aren't very Christian. I'm confused. I wish somebody could explain it to me. Now, I do know, Tim, I think you read the article. I don't know if I sent it to you, Joseph. There's been a lot of studies of the evangelical world and the group that's actually supporting him. Are you ready? They're evangelicals who don't go to church, which has now become the largest group. They're now going to say that evangelicalism is going to be a name that means nothing. Because actually, these are people that read the Bible, pray, give, go support missions, witness to people. This is just kind of, I'm an evangelical. How do we do that? You read that article, didn't you? I sent it to several people. It was devastating just dealing with numbers. You say, Pastor, I like Trump. I do too. I'd like him to go away. But it appears that ain't going to happen. You say, you shouldn't be stirring the pot. By the way, I know. I stir the pot all the time. If you want the other kind of guy, you got to find him some other place. You know, the pastor that thinks all of this is okay. All right, let's look in the passage, please. Luke 1. The angel came unto her and said, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bear a son, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Jesus is simply the Greek form of the name. Even the name, hear me, friend, the name of Jesus is not magic. We now have a new cultic group that you have to say Jesus' name properly. Oh, my goodness. Verse 32, he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him, what? The throne of his father David. By the way, to this day, Jesus does not sit on that throne. That is when he comes the second time to establish his kingdom on earth. But that is very Jewish. And he shall reign over the house of what? I'm not Jewish. This isn't the house of Jacob. This is yet future. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is part of the overall plan of salvation, which only portions of it have happened. We can now be saved. We can be a child of God. We can be part of his family. But this is yet future. Luke 2:29. I think this is Simeon. Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. So you have both sides. This is going to impact all of us, most of us are Gentiles, and the glory of the people Israel. Both are still there. Obviously, the Great Commissions, which is always in the Bible, is always geared to all people. So we'll read those in a moment. Pastor Clark, I'm going to have you read those, but I want to ask a question. When I pastored in St. Louis, I had a guy. I'll write his name without saying it. That was his name. He came to me, and he said, you allow black people in this church, I'm leaving. I'm taking my tithe with me, and I'm taking people with me. Now, don't get nervous. By the way, some of you think that's terrible. Black churches do it too. Don't play games. You guys don't. You know, frankly, I read too much. I know what happened on the south side of Chicago with one of the most famous pastors in America at that time. And when the blacks came from the south and they wanted him out of those areas. I mean, racism is racism. It's all over the place. But how would a guy that grown up in the church, Christian guy, say, I don't want blacks here? Then I got a second question. But he had no problem supporting missions in Africa. Are we all schizophrenic or weird? What do you think? It's like, I don't mind those people as long as those people are over there. Is that what it is? What do you think?
Gotta keep those lines between us and them.
By the way, the guy I'm talking about is, forgive me, I might be wrong because my mind is not 100% today. The guy I'm talking about is Tozier. You know who Tozier was? I'm pretty sure he pastored down on the south side of Chicago in what is today Cabrini Green. Blacks started migrating, and his view was, he had a real simple view. He said, I think our church could quite easily be 50-50. Blacks wouldn't have nothing to do with that. So racism is all over the place, friend. Don't kid yourself. Everybody hates every group. What about a church? How do you do that? Now let's read these passages and see, are there certain groups we shouldn't allow in a church? Go ahead, Pastor Coy.
Luke 24:45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things.
So this is what I want you to hear. Salvation comes through, can I say this, one nation or one race? For how many races? And it was always that way. This isn't something we make up now. It was always God's intention to reach all people groups. And can I say this? God is not surprised when he runs into some people group that we've never heard of. Years ago, I would have missionaries come, and I don't try to have those kinds of things. You've never heard of this group. Well, that's not important. God knows. God was always intended for us as believers to go to all places to spread the gospel. Continue, sir.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Again, we're back to how many groups of people? Every single one. Go ahead.
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Now that's a joke. Have you read Acts recently? What happens in Acts chapter 8? By the way, have the believers spread through all parts of the world? Actually, God has to send persecution to force people out of their comfort zone. Most people don't want to step. By the way, folks, even in this church, do you ever, Jim Duncan said something to me on a Sunday morning. I'm not going to tell you the whole story because I'd let Jim tell you. But if you watched yourself, you tend to associate with people, certain groups of people. Some people want to always be around people they're real comfortable with or they can control. Do you not understand human nature? Then you just exponentially expand that out. How about this? If you go to be a missionary in, I don't care the country, make up a country, Mongolia. What if your daughter is interested in one of the young men from your church in Mongolia? Is it all right if she dates him, marries him? Sister, may I inform you kindly that most mission boards would fire people for that? You know of the guy. You know of the missionary that was part of a mission group in the Philippines. He was there, married happily, had a great ministry. His wife died. 5-10 years later, he met a Filipina. He had to resign his mission because he could not marry someone from there. I think we're being very naive about people. By the way, I had missionaries come here and say, wherever they were at, and say, I don't want my children dating those people. Do you even hear that language? Dating those people. You mean you're giving your life for those people? Strange, strange. All right, I'm not picking on anybody. By the way, friends, I think one of the hardest things we do is we are very comfortable around people like us. You ever get around people that aren't like you? And I mean really around them. That's the harder part. In your notes, God in Scripture never, as far as I can tell, viewed race, however you construe race, as a negative thing. You just don't find it in the Bible. You don't find, oh, those are the bad group. Now, you find people that are unsaved and people disobeying God, etc. But not as a group, like, oh, those, don't talk to that group. God in Scripture never views race. And I don't like the term race, ethnicity, culture, tribe, language, all of that as a negative thing, but as a God-given thing. Of course, because God's the one that's behind it all. Resulting in the salvation should be from all the nations. Or I guess of all the nations works too. All right, that's this morning. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. In Christ's name. Amen.